All right, well, this is Carl Kubfleisch, and I appreciate everyone joining us for our first 100 conference call. We want to just start out with a quick overview of what are we doing here, and really the vision of our door-to-door ministry started back in 2009, and I had started here in Carrollton, Texas. For those that you know, not familiar with where we're located, we're about 20 miles north of the Dallas metro, you know, the center of Dallas, Texas, where we're located here in Carrollton. And so back in 2009, we started doing some, hi Ryan, Carl Kubfleisch here, and we're just getting started. So in 2009, we started out and said, you know, I'm going to go door to door, knock on every door in this city. It's about 40,000 households. And as we set out to do that, a few friends, you know, started joining, and probably did 1,000 houses the first year. I think at this point we've had about a little over 4,000 houses in the city of Carrollton.
Padmark.
So August of last year, we had a little meeting to kind of regroup. Todd Cormier and myself and another gentleman here in Carrollton, we got together to talk about reaching the city for Christ, and you know, kind of started, I think, a fresh, you know, fire of going out sharing the gospel. And in November, Todd then decided and felt led that the Lord was telling him to go into Denton, Texas, which is another 25-30 miles north of here, and start doing the same thing. And so we basically, since November of last year, we've been focused on two cities here in the Metroplex, just between the two of us, and really Todd there in Denton, and both of us here in Carrollton. So in January, we were headed out to do an outreach at the Cotton Bowl, and as we were driving out there, Todd mentioned to me, he's like, man, wouldn't it be cool if we had 100 people to go out on some Saturday and go share the gospel door to door? And as we talked and as we prayed, that getting together a group of 100 people expanded into a vision to have 100 cities across the country, and then 100, you know, people, 100 cities, and then eventually, you know, 100 groups of 100. What's actually interesting is just in looking at the story of Gideon the other day, is Gideon got to where he had 10,000 people, and the Lord told him to send 9,700 of them home. And so it was just interesting how we had come up with this 10,000 in what we were looking at. So shortly after that, you know, we put out a challenge for people, and it's really not, you know, obviously it's not limited to 100. It can be, you know, however many the Lord, you know, blesses this effort with to go. It's really about just regular door-to-door targeted evangelism. So shortly after that, Todd called me one night and told me the Lord had given him this acronym SPREAD, and we've really adopted that as the model for what we're doing. And I'd like to take a minute here and let Todd introduce the SPREAD, what it means, and then we're going to go through a few Bible verses. If you're at your computer, if you go to bazugan.org/spread, S-P-R-E-A-D, that's bazugan.org/spread, you'll actually see these Bible verses and stuff there. So with that, let me hand it over to Todd to introduce the SPREAD acronym.
Hello, everybody. It's exciting to see what the Lord's doing right now. I'm so excited to hear you guys call in from all around the country, and I think thus far we have almost 35 people now who God has raised up around the country to do his work that we are convinced that he wants to do. I'm going to read a letter that I wrote after a meeting that I had with my church after the Lord had put this 100 challenge on my heart and on our hearts, Carl and I. It says, thanks to all those who attended our meeting last night. It was a great meeting. The Lord is at work and will accomplish his will. I shared what the Lord had put on my heart to reach Denton for Christ. Before I came to the meeting, I got a map of the city and brought a piece of red tape attached to a push pin. I stuck it right where our church is located. I cut it to look like a flame, which represents the fire of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 3:11, Acts 2:1-4. The Lord has put in my heart that he would like his gospel to spread like a fire. As I sat in that room, I thought how the tables were arranged in a way that reminded me of war rooms in some of the old movies that I'd seen. It just so happened that the room also had a board that was made for attaching things to it. I had never recognized it before when going into the room for prayer meetings. So after our meeting, I attached the map to the board so that we could remind ourselves of the work that is before us. We also decided to call this room the War Room because we would use it as a place to pray, to plan, to teach, and to meet. I believe it is easy to forget that we are in a spiritual war with our flesh, the world, and Satan. We are also, by the power of God, at war for the souls of men. Well, if you're going to have a war, you have to have a war, and you're going to have a war room, we're going to need a battle plan. And the Lord gave me one last night. I always know it is the Lord speaking to my heart because it is so revealed so effortlessly. I also know because I was half asleep at the time and very quiet, and my thinking was dominated by his. Well, here we go. The acronym that we have, God has put on our hearts, is the acronym SPREAD, as in a fire. When Carl and I originally talked about, how we would go about leading this campaign, we had talked about planting seeds. The Word of God has a lot to talk about with planting seeds, but when I think of a fire is very volatile. And you can think of a wildfire just spreading across a landscape. And I truly believe in my heart right now that as the body of Christ, it's time for us, for God to really work in our hearts to spread like a fire. And so that's why I believe the acronym fits. And the first letter of the acronym is the letter S, which represents to strategize. And the thing with strategizing is we have been praying as we go out, and we have targeted areas on a map that Carl has put together on a map, and we'll target the little area out. We'll target out in red, and we've done that here in Carrollton, and we've done it also in Denton, and we would like that to happen all over the country. I truly believe that as we get serious about the fact that we are in a spiritual war, and if we get serious about the fact that that we really want to unite with the Lord and go out and reach souls as is his very heart, I believe now that he's getting serious about us. And I truly believe that's why he's now raising up people around the country to go door to door to do this work. And that's why it's so exciting. And so as far as the strategized part, we envision having everyone who is committed around the country going door to door, that we would unite together and we would pray for each one of these areas. That brings in the P of strategize, of spread. The P represents to pray. And the idea is that we pray for one another. I don't just pray for my area, but I want to unite with you guys, and we want to unite, and I want to look at those targeted areas on the map. And the other day, even, I was visualizing the Holy Spirit going into these homes, almost like he did in Exodus. But in Exodus, when he didn't see the blood on the doorpost, he went in for judgment. But because the blood of Christ has been already shed on the cross, as we pray for each one of our areas, we will pray, Lord, by your Spirit, go in and make these people aware of their sin and of righteousness and of the judgment that is to come. And don't go in for judgment, Lord. Go in by your grace, and we plead for the souls of people. And having said that also, I have really been asking God, and I would I would suggest that maybe you do this also. Ask for God to break your heart for the lost, like his heart is broken for the lost, that we would have this burden for the lost, that we would just truly just seek God for the souls of those. Because at the end of the day, I mean, that was Jesus' mission. He said, I have not come except to seek and save the lost. So that's the first 2 points, strategize and pray. And Carl is going to take up the next two, or three, actually.
Yeah, so the R stands for rally. And so, you know, we think of having a pep rally, you know, we're all getting fired up, we're going to go and, you know, cheer on our team or something like that in a sports analogy. You know, and the verse that we point to with this is Hebrews 10:24-25. It says, stir up one another to love and good works. So, you know, what we want to do is we want to rally together and encourage each other to really be out, you know, taking part and doing what we're really called to do here. You know, because I think a lot of times, you know, I talk to a lot of people around the country who are really, you know, desiring to go out and share the gospel with people. And sometimes, you know, they're like, well, I'm by myself. You know, I don't have anyone to go with. And, you know, here in Dallas, I mean, we're so blessed. We have, you know, evangelism going on every day of the week and, a big group. And we recognize not everybody has that. But, you know, today I had an email from a gentleman up in Allen, Texas, which is about 20 miles from here. And he became our 36th city to get involved with this. And so, you know, even though, you know, some of you may be one or two people out in some city, we want to rally together. We want to support each other. The E is to equip. You know, and you look at Ephesians chapter 4, you know, it talks about the prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints. And what are they equipped for? They're equipped for the work of ministry in building up the body of Christ. And so, you know, this really underlies the message and the mission of Bazugan Ministries is to equip the body of Christ to go out and share the gospel. And so that's why, you know, we produce gospel tracts, we produce door hangers, you know, other resources that can be used, evangelism training. And so that's really where we see our ministry is an equipping ministry to put out resources that people can use. And, you know, and then we start thinking about in terms of training of, you know, what do I say and how do I say it? And, you know, it really leads us, you know, to Acts chapter 4. You know, Craig and I have an evangelism seminar that we've taught over 60 times now. And when we get to the end, we say, you know, we've given you a lot of information, but it boils down to, in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, and they were astonished, and they recognized they had been with Jesus. So really the key for all of us is, you know, simply knowing Christ, getting to know him more, studying the Bible, and then just telling people about who we know boldly. So we see the boldness. We see that they had been with Jesus, and they simply told people about him. That takes us to the A, which is the A is action. You know, and our theme verse for this is really the theme verse of our whole ministry of Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples. And so, you know, it's not just about having a conference call. It's not just having a push pin on a map. And so, you know, it's really about that final step is the action step of going and doing it. And so I think the question that we get asked a lot is, okay, well, what do I do now that I've, you know, I said, okay, I want to go do door-to-door evangelism. What do I actually do to do that? And so we've got three approaches that we'll share with you as to how we do it, and basically we call them the three-pronged approach, the two-pronged approach, and the one-pronged approach. And, you know, you can actually read on our blog, I mean, we've boiled it down to some what's really supposed to be some very simplistic training. You'll see a video of Todd showing you how to knock on a door. Okay, I mean, ultimately, that's where the boldness comes in, right? I mean, you got to walk up the door, you knock on the door. Now, the thing is, when they answer the door, you know, what do? So I'm going to start with a three-pronged approach, and what we do is when someone answers the door, we say, there's three reasons why we're here. Okay, so that way they know once I ask them something, they're not going to, you know, close the door, leave, or whatever, because they know there's three things that I'm there for. So when I get done with the first one, okay, what's the second and third reason you're here? You've set that up in advance. And what we do is we say the three reasons we're here is, one, we're doing a food drive. Second, we're collecting prayer requests. And third, we're doing a spiritual inventory of the neighborhood. So basically what you can do then is you get a wagon or a cart, and you collect food and you donate it to some food bank in your neighborhood. And so you can decide where you're going to donate that to. But one time, you know, we had the disaster up in Oklahoma with the tornadoes. And so we just went and knocked on doors and said, there's three reasons why we're here. The first is we're collecting food. We're going to donate it to the disaster relief in Oklahoma. And just walking down one side of the street, the wagon was overflowing with food, and my wife had to come pick up the food in our van and offload it. So, you know, we get a lot of food donations, but it allows us then to basically start in the natural, where people are very receptive to, you know, quote-unquote, doing their good work of donating some food. The second thing we'll say is, the second reason we're here is we're gathering prayer requests. And there's a couple ways you can do this. You can either say, we'd like to see if we can pray with you, or if you don't want to pray with them, you can say, we're going to have a prayer meeting later, and we'd like to know how we can pray for you and your family. So however you want to do that is up to you. If you just take the prayer request, write it down on a pad of paper, and then move on to the third thing is we're doing a spiritual inventory of the neighborhood. If you want to pray with them at the time, and you'll notice we're giving it very, it's very open. We're not here to dictate, you must say this, you must do that. The whole thing is just to share the gospel in the way that you want to. But if you gather a prayer request, now you may be familiar with some ministries out there called Prayer Stop or Prayer Stand. I'm familiar with Prayer Stop because the guy that runs that is a friend of mine here in the area. And what he teaches is you get their prayer request, and then before you pray with them, you say, well, we're going to pray in Jesus' name. Do you know why we do that? By asking them that simple question, either they're going to profess that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, they've repented of their sins, believe in their heart, trust in Christ, or they're going to say, no, I don't know why you do that, and you're then going to share the gospel with them. And then if you take the previous approach where you say, well, I'm not going to pray with them right then, I'm going to take the prayer request, then we'll do something like, you know, we're going to do a spiritual inventory is the third prong. And we'll say, you know, third reason we're here is we're doing a spiritual inventory of the neighborhood. We just want to see what people believe. For example, do you believe there's a God? You know, yes or no. Do you believe there's a heaven or a hell? Yes or no. Okay, well, if there is a heaven, how do you get there? And, you know, I believe everybody on this call is well-versed in how to, you know, go through the gospel with people, you know, at that point. So that's the action step. I didn't talk about the one, the two-pronged approach is you leave out the door hanger. You leave out the collecting of food, and you just come to the door and say, you know, there's two reasons why we're here. One is we're taking prayer requests, and then you basically just start from the prayer request part down. And then the third way that we do it with the one-pronged approach is something I'm going to let Todd share with you on just some real simple ways where we just walk up and just start right into a conversation. So let me hand it back to Todd for that, and then he'll finish up with the D for diligence.
I personally don't really have an approach. I've been preaching the gospel since I got saved 13 years ago, I spent a lot of time with Carl and Craig and these guys, and you know, I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm no evangelist, and none of us really are evangelists, but I happen to know the greatest evangelist of all, and it's Jesus Christ. And I have come to realize that truly, the more time we spend with the Lord, the more time we spend abiding in Him, doing His work, doing His will, and just as natural as sin is before we get saved, Christ will naturally pour out of you. But you have to put Him in. You know, I love the verse that Carl talked about earlier. I've said it to so many people before. Acts 4:13, you know, Peter and John had been out on the street. They were arrested, thrown in jail, beaten. The very next day, they're back on the street. The Pharisees and the religious people confront them and says, "Did we not tell you not to speak in His name anymore?" And I love their answer. He says, "Whether it's right in your eyes to obey you more than God, you judge. But we cannot help but speak and do the things we have seen and heard." You know, for these guys, it wasn't a matter of, do we need to think about, are we going to answer these guys or not? These guys were so full of Christ that they had to speak for Him. They had to speak about Him. And really, I have discovered personally, that's what it's all about. And as Carl said earlier, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they knew that they had been with Jesus. Let me tell you something. The world would have disqualified these guys. We would have been disqualified. But their key is that they had been with Jesus. And the more time we spend with the Lord, the more time we go out, we don't have all the answers, but we just say, you know what, Lord, we're going. And when we do that, we see God work. Because He's not looking for the most eloquent person. He's not looking for the greatest speaker in the world or the guy who has all the information. I'll tell you what He's looking for. He's looking for someone who says, you know what, God, I'm going. I'm going to do what You have commanded me to do. And, you know, it's the same thing has happened all throughout Scripture. I love even what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 20. It says, "Oh, Lord, You induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I, and I have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. And then I said, I will not make mention of Him anymore, nor speak any more in His name." But here it is. "But His word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary of holding it back, and I could not hold it back." And, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, that's what it's all going to come down to, that we are going to overcome our fears, because it's not a matter of us being fearful to knock on someone's door or anything like that. We're going to go because we're full of the Spirit, and we're going to go and preach God's word, and we're full of Christ. And He will flow out of us. If we will fill ourselves with Him, He will come out. And that's what I have discovered is what we have to do. You want me to cover diligence? On the last point of the spread is diligent. You know, the bottom line is we have to stay committed. This is not a one-time-a-year thing like I have practiced with my own church and place like that. We're going to go and reach out to the community. No, this is something we do. This is who we are. You know, the Lord said, "And you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to all the ends of the earth." He didn't say you will do some witnessing. He said you will be a witness for me. This is not a one-time-a-year thing. We have to be committed to it. And I believe that the Lord will reward our faithfulness. And I learned years ago that I'm not concerned about the results, because the results are up to Him. But I know that if we will be faithful to doing this, like He's called us to do, He will bless this ministry, and He will bless what we're doing. That's all I've got there. Go on.
All right, so that covers the spread. Hopefully everybody got something from that, something of value. What I want to do is talk about, you know, what do we think of in terms of success? You know, how do we know if we're successful when we measure that? You know, a lot of places they'll measure it based on, you know, church growth. You know, I had a Mormon door-to-door bug salesman at my house a couple weeks ago, and he informed me that the Mormon church was the fastest growing Christian denomination. I had to first of all correct him and say that they weren't Christian. And he said, well, we're the fastest growing church. But the reality is, I mean, who cares? It doesn't matter how fast you're growing, you know, especially in their case where you're leading people away from the truth. So it's not about church growth. It's not about, you know, rapid expansion. It's not about number of decisions. You know, it's not even about how many houses we knock on or, you know, how many cans of food we collect and all these different things. And there's a lot of different metrics that we can collect. But for me in ministry and sharing the gospel, you know, what I've come down to is what Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. This is how I measure effectiveness, how I measure success. And what he says here is, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for me that God may open the door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Now, what's really interesting to me is that this has been my, you know, ministry success theme verse for years. And as we were putting together this conference call tonight and talking about this, and I pulled this out, I thought, well, isn't that interesting that in verse 3 it says that God may open the door for the word. And here we are talking about door-to-door evangelism. You know, we're going to pray that people would open their door so we can talk to them, at the same time praying that God opens that door. I realize it's not exactly what it means there. I just thought it was interesting. But you notice in verse 4 how he measures success is that he clearly communicates what he ought to speak, or clearly communicating the gospel. And that's how we measure success, and that's how we hope that everybody here, you know, will measure success in what we're doing. So what I want to do now, I'm going to turn off the recording.